turn to the last book of Old Testament. What is that? Can someone tell me? Last book of Old Testament. Who says that? Speak up. Last book of Old Testament. And then you guys know.
Malachi.
Very good. Very good. And let's turn to chapter 1. We're talking about Ophir. I mean, Malachi is the one that really give us some instructions. More like rebuking about offerings. And our little English congregation, we have not really done any offerings. You know, we just recently got an offering box. We made an offering box. And for you to make offerings. But usually church don't like to talk about money. You know, a sensitive subject, especially for a pastor to talk about. Because, you know, pastor receive a salary from the church. So whenever pastor talk about money, it's look like he's begging. I mean, there's not enough for my salary. So you guys have to, you know, put out more. Or if there is a construction project going on, we need money. So we talk about money. That's what a lot of people also make offerings to meet the expenses of the church. You know, I mentioned salaries, electricity, you know, heat, water, maintenance for the church. There's a lot of expenses for a church. So people say, okay, we'll make offering to defer these costs. But you think about it. Does God need our money? Does God need our money? Come on.
No.
No. Why doesn't he need our money? Because everything belongs to him in the first place, right? Trees, flower, mountain, lakes, fish, animals, they all belong to God because God provides for them so they can live. So, God doesn't need our puny little offerings. Okay. Does the church need offerings?
Yeah, because we have expenses, right?
Okay. Does the pastor need your offerings?
We pray for the pastor.
You know, I know churches, they don't have a budget for pastors. So whatever they receive on Sunday, that's pastor's salary for that week, you know. And so pastor needs salary offerings, but in reality, you know, pastor depends on the Lord for provisions. His hope is not in the church. You know, pastor believe the Lord calls him into a ministry and he's gonna provide for him. The church give pastor a salary based on their love for the pastor, their care for the pastor. So that is, you know, the pastor doesn't need offering. So why do we make offerings? And then some people say, oh, offering reflects our hearts and attitude towards God. And So the more offering that you make to God, the more love that you have for the Lord. And it does reflect that. And especially considering when Jesus calls us to be as a disciple, he said we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him daily. What does that look like? Well, one of them you can measure to look like is your offerings. So that's another reason for making offering, because we want to be disciples of Christ, and the offering reflects. At least give us a measure of where we at as far as denying ourselves, following Christ in obedience. But I would suggest that's only a secondary reason. You know, a secondary reason why you offer. It's not because God needs it. It's not just because it's a reflection for you to judge, to measure yourself in your relationship with God. The primary reason I believe that you make offering to the Lord is to honor God. God will be honored through your offerings. God will be honored through your offerings. And this basically is the point that Malachi is making. Malachi is a prophet. He's a prophet, probably he's a prophet after they come back from captivities. But after they come back from captivity to Jerusalem, and so his time frame is probably the same as Ezra and Nehemiah. And you know, when they come back from captivity back to Jerusalem, it's still a very tough time. You know, the land has not been plowed for years. And the wall of Jerusalem has broken down. The temple has been destroyed, so it has not been rebuilt. And people have a hard time to live, have enough to eat. So it is a very, really, not a good time. And this is after Israel has been promised by the prophet that God will take them back. God will bring them back to the Holy Land and prosper them. Prosper them. But this hasn't happened. This hasn't happened. So the attitude is that God doesn't care for us anymore. God doesn't care for us. So if God doesn't care, why should I care about God? If God doesn't care for us, why should I care about God? Why should I obey his commandment? Maybe I will obey just being a good Jew, but not wholeheartedly, joyfully obey obedience. Just sort of kind of, you know, half-hearted obedience. So that is sort of kind of the circumstances and the national feelings when Malachi spoke for the Lord. There actually two things, if you read through Malachi, there are two things that he is really charging the Jews, returning Jews. First is about offerings. They have not given their tithe. They have sacrificed blemished animals. You know, the animal that nobody wants. They made sacrifice to the Lord. They gave it to the Lord. So that's the first thing that the Malachi have charged against them. The second thing is intermarriage. Is that these people come back and they marry the local girls or the local boys. And this is something that God already told them they should not do. And this is also the emphasis that Nehemiah and Ezra made. If you read Nehemiah and Ezra about intermarriage. So, with this background, let's read chapter 1. Chapter 1 speaks about the sacrifices. and especially rebuking the priests, the leaders of Jews. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? We are in this such a desperate situations. We have not had enough to eat. Our world is broken. We have enemies all over, all around us. How have you loved us? How have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord said, yet I have loved Jacob. This is the Jews are descendants of Jacob. Esau is the other son of Isaac. But Esau I have hated, and I have turned his mountain into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty said. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called a wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the border of Israel. Okay, let's just stop here. Let's make the first point. Well, Jew is suffering. And they ask God, how have you loved us? God told him, well, I don't hate you. I don't hate you. You know what happened if I hate you? This is what happened if I hate you. You can build, but I will destroy. You can build, I can destroy. But I think the more important is that great is the Lord even beyond the borders of Israel. He wants the Jew to see is that the Edomites, the way how they turn out and their lands and all that, God is also in control of that. God is not just a local deity for the Jews only. He says God is what? Is beyond the border of Israel. God is in charge of all the tribes and people around Israel, around the border of Israel. God is great. Great is the Lord. So I think the first thing is that God wants Israel to realize is that he will be called great, not just in Israel, that has been taught in Israel. God will be great beyond the border. Look at verse 11. This is the same thing. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offering will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So, as when we offer, we first establish how great is our God. You are making offering to this God. You're making an offering to the God, not just God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel, but you are making offering to God of creations. You make offering to God who has opened the Red Sea for the Jews to walk through. You are making offering to God who can destroy and who can send pestilence and frogs to the nation. And you see that in Exodus. This is the God that nobody can approach. At least you die if you see God. You die. This is now that you're making offering to.
you make it. So if I was a person making offering to this great God, my first question is that, am I worthy? Will God accept my offering? Why would God accept my offering? Is my offering good enough for him? See, that those are the things that you should go through your mind if you have a very high view, a tremendous view of God. You see, most of the time when we make offerings, we just throw a few bucks in the offering plate. Or like if you like us, we are more mindful, so we write a check. Or we Venmo it. Without really thinking that we are making offering to this great God. And this is what Malachi wants Israel to know, to establish you are making offering to this great God. So I don't know. Next time when you make offering, you have to, I will think, is that you want to come before the offering plate and humble yourself and says, Lord, I pray that this offering will be pleasing to your son. And not just throwing the money in the offering plate. So that is the first thing God established. When you make offerings, is that God has to be honored. The way that honor God is because you have a tremendous view, highest esteem view of God. Okay, let's continue on. But you know, we dishonor God a lot without even realizing it in this whole offering process. We dishonor God. See, verse 6. A son honoring his father and a servant his master. If I am the father, where is the honor due me? The God is asking Jews, where is my honor? I am your God. Where is my honor? If I'm the master, where is the respect due me? So it's a question that evidently these people have dishonored him. How to dishonor him? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how can we show contempt for your name? These priests asking, how do we do that? How do we do that? And verse 7, you place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. See, these people, I don't know whether they are just asking because they really don't know, or is that they are trying to tell God they have not been contemptuous. What does contemptuous mean? English major? Do we have any English major? What's contemptuous mean? When you show contempt for somebody. You know, you have contempt of court. What does that mean? What is contemptuous? Contemptuous means that you have belittled someone. You're in his presence. You should have respect, but instead you belittle him, making him small, making him insignificant, making him controllable to you. It means in this case with God is that you bring God down to our level, even below our level. We are to be his servant. A contemptuous attitude is that he is our servant.
we ask God to do certain things for us. We are the master. When you have that relationship with God, that is contemptuous relationship. This is what the prophet is saying about the priest in Israel. These priests are supposed to be the teacher. They're supposed to be the one who uplifting God. They're supposed to be the one that to give him honor. And they still ask, how can we show this contempt? Well, God just told them very specifically, you show contempt by your offerings. Because you make what? When you bring blind animals for sacrifices, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animal, is that not wrong? So God is just telling them, what you have done is that you, the priest, doesn't necessarily make offerings, but the priests accept offerings from the Jews. And the priest has lowered the standards and accept any animal offerings and to present to the Lord. The priest should be the one standing by the gates and says, this is not good. This does not honor God. Give him an animal that's without blemish. Because that's what the Moses, law of Moses says. You ought to bring an animal that is perfect and not blind. Not ones that you give it to people that you don't like, I guess. Or you don't even want it. Or you don't even want it. So you give it to somebody else. You know, it's like rewrapping a Christmas gift. We do that. We rewrap and give it to somebody else. We don't know. But we know. It's like this. Can you imagine you rewrap it and give it to God? That is why God says you're contemptuous in your offerings. That's why. And then I think you know the prophet says, try offering them, try offering this diseased animal, this crippled animals to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you? So he says, you know, you won't even offer this to the governor, to somebody who's governing your land. Some earthly person. You won't even offer those animals to him. Why do you bring it to the Lord? Well, they bring it to the Lord because they have such a small view of God. Contemptuous view of God. So they bring it. They say, God doesn't really care. God really doesn't care. God understand, you know, we are poor. But even the poor can make a perfect offering. Remember the poor widow who gave 2 cents? And Jesus said that she gave more than anybody else. Even the poor can give. To give their best. You know, if you read the background, the stories, and the situation with Israel, you kind of sympathetic. You know, these people, they couldn't even live. You know, so they may want to keep the best so they can sell it for more money, and give the crippled ones to God. I said, okay, I understand that. You know, because they're poor. But you know, we are to call to honor God. Honor God. You know when is the best time? It's when you have the most need, and yet you sacrificially give. Last week, 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the Macedonian church, when they give,
They give out of their extreme poverty. That's what Paul says. They pleaded with Paul, says, let me give. Let me participate. That is not contemptuous. That's have a high esteem of God. Because Paul says they gave themselves to the Lord first. And this is what happened. These people did not give themselves to the Lord. They keep the best for themselves. So God is honored not by how much you give, how you dress him up, you know. God is not honored that way. God is honored that when you give your best, and that best, the most easily seen is when you have the most needs. When you have the most needs. And God is honored when that happens. You know, just a little commentary about modern day offerings. You know, we don't have animals. We don't bring animals to the church. You know, or cows to the church and give it to the deacons. It's like, here's my offering. We don't do that. We give money, right? We give money. But you know, as pastor, I never knew how much each gives. Because we, as pastors, we stay away from money matters. But I have known people who told me is that I give what I do not need. In other words, when I have extra, you know, when I get paid the first of the month, I spend everything, pay everything. At the end of the month, I have $10 left. Okay, I drop it in the offering box. That's their idea of offerings. That is almost, that's the modern equivalent of offering the diseased animal to God. Something that you don't want. Or you have extra. People does that. Church people does that today. God is not honored in that. No matter how much you give, $10, $20, $100, $200, but you still take care of yourself first. And then you give it whatever is left over to the Lord. That's what I call the leftover offerings. Leftover offerings. God is not honored by your leftover offerings. That is the equivalent of crippled animals that these people take it to the priest. Now, I don't know what is your offering habit. For us, when we get paid, we first subtract our mortgage, because if we don't pay mortgage, we can't live there. So we subtract our mortgage. The next thing we do is that we subtract our offerings. We take the offering right off the top. Maybe we should make that first, just to test to see, God, if I don't have money to pay the mortgage, would you rain blessing from the heaven? You know? But usually we can make the mortgage and the offering. You know, the church is still pretty generous in that.
I'm talking about tithe.
The tithe offering. So I think as you offer, you have to plan out your offerings. What I want to bring before the Lord. You know? And then maybe next week or week after that, we're talking about how much is that. How much are we talking about? But that is the way to honor God. That's the way to honor God. And He is worthy of our honor. No. Young lady over there, you guys are.
I don't know what you're thinking. But do you guys have money?
Allowances? You get allowances?
No? So you, how about red envelopes?
You get.
You do?
Well, that's what we tell our kids, is that you don't have any money, but you do receive money from grandparents on special holidays.
Those money,
you can make offerings. So they started early in their offering career. They know that's part of being a children of God. Because that brings honor to God. That brings honor to God. And then continue reading. Verse 10. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising of the sun to the setting of sun. In every place, incense and pure offering will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand? Says the Lord. Curses the chief who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifice a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You see, again, God says, I am to be honored. You will not be contemptuous in my presence. Again, God says that. And that all had to do with what they bring before the Lord. What they bring before the Lord. So don't think you're offering just money. Don't think your offering is just money. You just drop a few coins, a few dollars, or a few $100 in the plate. It's not the money. It's that through this, God is honored in your life. In your life. You know, because nobody else knows how much money you give. Nobody knows how much you give. But you know, your attitude, that you are contemptuous attitude. God knows. And if we offer the leftover, God is not pleased and God will not accept it or bless it. Accept it or bless it. So we hope in the future that we are integrating an offering in our English service. It's not just so, you know, we pass the offering plate among you. That's too much of like beggars asking for money. God is not begging for money. So it's not about money. It's never about money. Offering is never about the animals. Oh, it is about the animal. How good is the animal? But offering is always about you honoring God with your best. With your best. Now we'll go back to that story we read in the beginning with Mary. This is what God's done. Right? This is what Jesus has done for us. We remember that. But on the other hand, we remember what Mary did. I think the Bible study on Friday talked about this. You still remember why is
Why is Mary so unique in that? Why is Mary so unique? Of all the things that disciple has, you know, all these people, 3 years, God singled her out and said that she had to be preached whenever we preach the gospel. Do you know the difference between God is the most important, let's say, in your life or whatever, and God is the only person in your life, the only person that matters? Do you know the difference? The most important, he's number one. He ought to be number one. Well, he is already number one and the only. You see, the story is that people are looking at the money. People are looking and says, man, that oil, that jar of perfume can sell for so much money. And then you can make offering, right? You help the poor, it's like an offering to God. Right? It's a good thing. But again, it's not about the money, it's about honoring God. And in this case, Mary sees Jesus as the one and only. She's not just the most important thing in her life. Because the most important can change. Depends on circumstances. But when Mary sees Jesus as the only person there, is the only God, is the only one who worthy of her 1 year wages to pour over his head. She can only do that when she sees Jesus as the only. So we mentioned Mary. That's how we honor God. When we come before him, that he is the only God of our lives, the only God of universe. There is no other. There is no other. And there is no other salvation except through Jesus Christ. Right? We study John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. He's the only. Until we realize that, until we receive that and put that as part of our lives, walking with Jesus, is that we risk the contemptuous attitude towards God. We risk that. So he is the only, and only him deserves the honor. Only him deserves the honor. We'll continue on. I don't know if I want to preach through that about the marriage thing, but I think it's important for there's a lot of unmarried people here, you know, is to preach through why do you need to marry a Christian. Why not just somebody else? The way I look at it is that you marry a crippled sheep if you're not married. Not marry a Christian if you're not married. You know, you accept a crippled sheep, a blemished animal, husband, a crippled husband, a diseased husband, or wife, you know. God has the best for you, and that's within his community. So, we'll talk about that a little bit more. And that just got, you know, off the cusp. Don't think that I'm criticizing non-Christian. If you do have a non-Christian boyfriend, okay? But it's, the best is still within God's community. Okay, let's pray. We have lunch for you guys today. Not with them. We have better food. They just have cakes and cookies. We have real food. Okay, so we'll probably bring the food in here. We eat it. We'll eat it here. Alright? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your words. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, remind us that whenever we have a contemptuous attitude before you, Lord, always put into our heart how Mary had done, how Mary sees you, as she sees no one else except you. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you continue to take away these false gods in our lives, and so that we have only Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.